Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Scott Fish, and I don't have a trading problem anymore, but I'd like to get it back. I'd like to have a problem again.
I have to say that's a first, and I kind of like it.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, everybody. Welcome to session 159 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. We are here. Rookie drafts and auctions are insane and fun and overwhelming and scary. And some went over already. It's a crazy time of year. And I guess it's kind of our time of year, right? Like, this is what we live for. And this is why we get drained of all of our life force, you know, in the middle of May, and then join six startups, you know, the week after. But we are here. We are just going to, I'm not going to forget our little introduction thing. I always end up finding something to start screaming about, and then I'm like, oh yeah, we have a guest, we should introduce them. So Scott Fish is our guest. I'm sure all of you listening know who he is, but just in case, there's this one person that has no idea who Scott Fish is but found this podcast. Why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Sure. Scott Fish. I'm at ScottFish24 on Twitter. I run a commissioner service called Safe Leagues. We run Dynasty and Redraft and lots of unique, interesting, weird leagues over there. I run this little tiny tournament called the Scott Fish Bowl that lots of analysts and celebrities. We just got another celebrity the other day. Lots of analysts and celebrities and fans playing. We also try to raise a lot of money for charities and whatnot. It's a fun ride. It's fun that's what I'm known for now. The Scott Fish Bowl. When 10 years ago I would have been known for like Debbie or something. You know, I feel like I've bounced around at what I'm known for in this industry.
Just curious, can you say who that new celebrity is?
Yeah, sure. Jerry Ferrara, Turtle from Entourage.
Turtle,
nice.
Yeah.
He's jumping in the fray this year. Yeah.
Nice.
I love when I see when we get new celebrities and stuff, but like we got Shane Battier came in last year as, mm-hmm. you know, like last year was his first year. And like the way we found out about him was like he was just in the regular signup list. Like he didn't shoot us a message or anything. Like he was just in the regular signup list. And I believe Ryan hit the random button. His name popped up, and that's how we noticed. We clicked on his profile. It goes to verified Shane Battier. He only followed like 29 people, but me and Ryan were two of them. So we're like, okay, maybe it is Shane Battier.
I was in the 104 chat with him too, and he was super into it. He was talking zero RB, and he knew his stuff.
He does know his stuff. He came on the Podathon, but here's where it feels even more awkward. I just found this out within the last 10 or so days. He signed up the year before and didn't get in.
You didn't let Shane be out. That's great.
In fairness, there was a typo in his email, but like it was the same Twitter, same email, except for one letter missing. So in fairness, there was a typo in his email. But
yes. You can say you run a league that rejected Shane Battier.
Yeah, if you're out there and you feel bad for not getting in, I mean, it took Shane Battier 2 years to get in this thing. So I guess that's the push, right? Oh.
Okay, well, I'm sure we're going to get back into SFB in a little bit. But before we do that, we're going back to the basics. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
I started in 1992. It started as a dynasty league because that's all I knew. Basically, my dad played in this Big Ten fantasy basketball league. And what they did, like he did for like well over a decade before 92. And what they did is they would draft the incoming freshmen and they just keep them throughout their college career. So in 92, when I started playing fantasy football, I assumed you drafted the rookies each year and you just kept them through their career. So I'm going to take a step back and say that like for an article once I researched like where Dynasty started and I got it back well into the 70s and it was probably well before that. And they actually just called it fantasy football back then. They didn't say it was Dynasty, but I just want to throw that in there that Dynasty has been around for a very long time, but I started in 92. I remember in my 1995 rookie draft, the Joey Galloway, Michael Westbrook, J.J. Stokes year, jumping up and being like, J.J. Stokes is the next Jerry Rice. I was very wrong on that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Very, very wrong on that. But that's how long I've been playing. It's now a keeper league, but that league still exists. We're going to be year 30 this upcoming year, which is insane to me.
That league has been going on for longer than most of the people listening to the show right now. I mean, that's some perspective.
I don't doubt it. Back in the days, like it started as a six teamer. It was touchdown only. So the first round was all quarterbacks.
Yep.
Yeah. You would have liked it. We didn't have trade deadlines. we just kept the team and traded all off season and everything. Yep.
It was good. Nick in the chat wants to know, do you still have the same six guys?
There are only two of us left. There are only two of those six left. But I will say of the group that's now there, only the very last spot has changed over the last 19 or 20 years. Wow. So it's been the same group, except for that last spot has changed about four or five times over the last 19 or 20 years, which is crazy to me.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, I've been playing for like 15, 16 years. And while I still play with some of the same people I did back then, there's no way a league would ever. I think my longest running league was probably like 6-7 years. Uh-huh. And that was probably we kept like maybe six of the same because it was a 10 team league. We probably kept like six people, mm-hmm. You know, as our core. But man, to be able to like keep something running that long, to know the same people for that long is like mind boggling to me.
It's fun. You know, everybody's like what they love, what their tendencies are. And it almost makes trading kind of easy because you know what each person likes. Like we have a guy named Ryan who he doesn't give a crap what his bench is. He just wants his starters. You know, like we got another guy that always has to have the rookie running backs. Like I think it makes trading a little easier knowing what each person is after every year.
Yeah, it's super helpful. I know if I have a guy that anyone utters the word old about, I just try and send him to Rocky.
Yeah. I'm the guy who'll take all the old guys. So Russ tries to send them to me. Even when I'm in a league with him where I'm
Jones.
Even if I'm rebuilding, he still tries to send them to
Doesn't
me.
Matter what his team is. I will send him Thielen and Jones, which I had on so many teams at the beginning of this non-point scoring season, but now on fewer because he did take some of the trades.
I did.
A player has a birthday. You're like, hey, Rocky, this guy's birthday today. Oh, man.
Great. All right. Well, I lost my next question as to how long have you been playing Dynasty because that just sort of answered itself, which is kind of crazy. But okay, so here's What are some of the best and worst trades you've made?
Oh man. You know, you gave me the link to this doc and I didn't open it till now. So I probably should have opened it to think of a couple.
This is the only question you'll really need to have any sort of answer for.
No, but I got a few for you. Like, so I've been playing Devi since the late 90s. And I can remember a couple
ever since you invented Devi. Okay.
I know that I was one of the early guys, and I know that when I searched it out, I couldn't find anyone else playing it, but I've actually met people that have claimed to have played it like in the mid 90s before I did. And I'm sure Little Home Leagues did. So I'll never claim that, but I will say that I'm the guy that pushed it on this industry. I'll fully claim that I'm the guy that made sure it was a thing in this industry. But so I remember trading Arian Foster, like the first season he broke out. Like, I was big onto Arian Foster, and then that first year he broke out, and then I'm like, I'm gonna trade him for this Robert Woods guy who's like, I don't remember if he was just coming out of high school or if he was like a year out or whatever. And I missed some really good Arian Foster years out of that. It would have paid off now, but I mean,
if you held onto Woods for that long,
exactly.
Right now.
And then another one a few years ago, this is like, that's like just the other day. I remember I traded Melvin Gordon, and you know, he was good for several years, but I traded him for Laquon Treadwell right after like his sophomore season. Mm-hmm. At Ole Miss, where he was like really, really good. And that one, man, I missed out on all the Melvin Gordon years too, that he was decent for that. There have been some bad ones out there. That was pretty bad.
Didn't work out as much as it was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. Here's my best trade I ever made, I think. Maybe. It led to a lot of championships in a long streak.
I feel like that's a really good trade then. Yeah.
I got LaDainian Tomlinson his rookie year, and I held on to him right after the 31 touchdown year in 2006. I traded him for a nice big package that included Adrian Peterson and a bunch of other players. So right as LT started his decline, I grabbed Peterson on the upswing. And there were a lot of championships in that run in that league. That's, you might have seen me tweet about it before, but that I believe that was the league that I won 10 out of 11 years. So that was a pretty good one.
Man, you've already brought up like two players that end up in the worst, like one of the worst draft mistakes I've ever made. One of the first few drafts I ever did by myself was when LT was the obvious 101, and it was AP's second year.
Yeah,
and everyone's just like, he can't do that again, right? Like, I'm not taking AP second overall after a rookie year of doing awesome for like maybe 8 games. I'm going to take Brian Westbrook. He catches passes. He's awesome. He missed almost the entire freaking season hurt. And AP was AP, and I just lost that year, like real, real bad, after talking a lot of crap to my stepbrother and his friends.
Oh, man.
That is also why I don't talk crap anymore.
How did you watch that Vikings Bears game or that Vikings Chargers game in his rookie season and not be like, this is the best player I've ever seen?
I don't have a real answer for that. You're so good. I played it way too safe, and clearly safe did not work out for me.
You're talking to a guy who once took CJ Spiller 103. So like, I get it. we've all been there.
Okay, so last question on our interview is, what is a guiding principle you take with you when you are offering or evaluating trades?
I honestly feel like I'm the worst one to ask this to, because I would say 90%+ of the time I overpay. Like, I always try to get my guy, and if that means I'm going to overpay, I don't care. And I generally come at that. Like, my principle is, I come at you with my best offer or damn close to it, and if you turn me down, I just back off. I'm like, okay, I gave you what the best offer I could possibly give you. And maybe it sucks that I'm not like a nickel and dime or like back and forth counter offer guy, but I'm like, here's the best offer I'm going to give you. And if you don't want it, I guess that's it. Cause I'm already in my mind overpaying. It's not really a principle. It's just the way I trade.
It absolutely is.
Because I throw the overpay first. And if you don't take it, I'm done.
Yeah, we are definitely team go get your guy. So, it, you know, do what you got to do. I don't know, like I get like this tightness in my chest if I send over payments like right away. Like sometimes I'm willing, like me ever having, if I ever want to have Calvin Ridley on one of my teams, everyone knows how much I love that man. So I have to overpay for him, but I'm never going to send my first offer as an overpay. I mean, even if, you know, just because the way I am, you know, people are lucky if my first offer is fair for Calvin Ridley. But eventually I know I'm going to have to overpay for him. But I couldn't bring myself. I don't think I could bring myself to do that on the first try. But no, going and getting your guy is absolutely something that is, if you believe in yourself, that is amazing. Because like you're putting yourself out there saying, no, I want this guy. I will do what it takes. I would hope within reason. And I'm going to ride with that. And
yeah,
a little jealous of the confidence that takes.
Russ is a notorious underpayer on the first offer.
Oh, man. I think mine has developed from two things. Playing so long that I want to enjoy my team, slash I've seen enough. Let's just go back to a draft or something. I've taken the guy I'm supposed to take at a draft slot.
Yep.
And I've taken the guy I wanted to, and I think it's 50-50 which one is actually going to be the better pick. So I've moved after so many years, just take my guy at my pick. And if it does, you know, I think there's a 50-50 shot that he's going to be the one that works out and the guy I should have taken didn't. And the other thing is that when I'm making an offer, I've gotten to this point where I'm so busy, I don't want to go back and forth on 12 counters. you know what I mean? I think that's part of it. I've just gotten to the point. I don't want to make back and forth offers all day long.
Oh, see, I sit at my desk trying not to work. So I'm absolutely up for 12 offers.
Sure.
But no, yeah. If you know, you have a life and you're busy, that absolutely makes more sense than the crap I pull. All right, so that is our little interview thing. We will go on to our one piece of news that I love this piece of news. While it won't help for the beginning of the season because he won't be healthy for it, the Colts signed Eric Fisher as their left tackle, which is so darn good because the Colts got a quarterback. Now they have an even better line than they had last year. I think it's safe to It's safe. No, I'm not talking about Tim Tebow, Nick. it is safe to say it is Jonathan Taylor season, and I am here for it.
Yeah.
I have very few shares, but the one I do is in my home keeper league, which, again, is probably the longest running league I've been in. And I took all the rookie running backs last year. And I'm like, I knew one or two of these guys are gonna work out.
Yep.
So I have JT, Swift, Dobbins, and Gibson, all of which I can keep for under sixth round keeper value.
Nice.
So, so yeah, this news I think is huge because first of all, I'm a Carson Wentz fan in the first place, and a Michael Pittman fan, a Paris Campbell fan. I mean, okay, so maybe I'm a little bit of a Colts fan. I didn't know this until I just started saying this out loud. so, like, my question is, Scott, do you actually change values based on offensive line? Because it's funny, like your average fantasy player, I feel like when you're scrolling through news or scrolling through Twitter, you don't really stop unless you see those letters QB, WR, TE, RB. Like, but seeing that OL or LT, especially on a team where it already had a good offensive line and now just got one of the best tackles, maybe in like October, like, I feel like that should affect value everywhere around it. Like,
It depends on how plugged in you, how into fantasy you are. Your casual guy is not going to. Guys like us are definitely going to adjust on news like that. And I'm with you. Like, I was asked on a podcast or a radio show or something, or like,
you just do so much. Who even knows?
I don't even know. After the season, who are some QBs that are going to go at the end of your draft that are going to way overperform? And I'm like, I listed off guys like, I think Baker Mayfield's got to he threw so far fewer interceptions last year. I think Joe Burrow, people are going to forget about him and they're going to add weapons, and they did. And then I talked a lot on Carson Wentz. I'm like, he could not keep upright. The pressure rate at the Eagle with the Eagles last year was ridiculous. You get him back with Reich and you keep him upright with that line and you give him all those weapons and a running game. how is this guy not going to perform? Like, and people are going to be so shell-shocked from last year. He's going to go so late. I think he's going to be an afterthought for people, and he could easily, you know, fall into the top 12 without even, you know, with just a complete surprise for people. So, and no, I'm with you. I'm big on what the Colts are probably going to do on offense this year.
And one big issue with him too is that, as someone who watched most of his career up until now, is that he definitely would hold on to the ball too long. So having an even better offensive line will certainly help with that too, because he's always trying to extend that play and make that play. And I think since some of the injuries, he's not quite as capable of doing that. But if the line's holding the guys off longer, that could work out for him. I agree with you, Scott. I see a bounce back for him this year.
That holding the ball for those 12 games in the Super Bowl year that he played, like, he turned those into rushing yards. And yep. since the injury, he doesn't turn those into rushing yards. He turns them into sacks.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So since we're talking Colts, we might as well just jump straight into, we have two Trade Addicts trades that involve Colts players. So Trade Addicts leagues are 12 team Superflex PPR tight end premium, which is 1.75 points for tight end receptions and 0.05 points for return yardage, because we do not have a Trade Addicts one trade. So let's go to,
do you have any Trade Addicts 10 trades in this? Do you got some of those, like, startup trades?
Or? Man, it's so weird. We must not have done a single trade in Trade Addicts 10 yet. That's so strange.
Nice.
Okay, well, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted. Okay, so let's since we're talking about Carson Wentz, let's jump to this one. Carson Wentz for Drew Lock and a 22 first. Would you blink an eye at that if you were trying to buy Carson Wentz? Like, how easily would you send Drew Lock in a 22 first to go get Carson Wentz?
22 first is really tough, but as I've mentioned before, I'm a win now guy. If I need a quarterback, I think I'm doing it, because I'm such a win now guy nowadays. That's really tough given that first,
though. Is it for you, CC? For me, it's nice and easy. Future first or whatever, I'll get someone else's sooner or later. But I mean, like, sure. we're sitting here talking about Carson Wentz being someone we super believe in. And Drew Lock is. Are you ever going to feel good starting Drew Lock? The answer is probably.
I don't think Drew Lock is the starter in 2 years. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. So,
Wentz, I can see being the starter in 2 years. I can see a rebirth with Reich. I can see him being the starter there for several years. So.
And I'm kind of in between the two of you on firsts and how much I worry about giving them away, but that would be easy for me too. I just, like I said, I believe way more in Wentz than I still think we're not 100% sure Locke is going to be the starter this year. I'm not sure that Rodgers stuff is dead. So
true. another thing is, because I'm so win now, and because I bet on myself. Mm-hmm. I rarely have my future picks.
Exactly.
Because I'm like, these are late picks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, the picks leagues, I made the championship game in all three of them. And that's like a 28 teamer, a 56, and a 56. You know, like, I'm usually up there. So, yeah. The more I think about it, yeah, bet on yourself. That's a late first.
I was the opposite of that in Pigs 1. I started Josh Rosen for most of the season.
That is a start.
Because I couldn't, because I had to.
Yeah, and tanking's allowed in those leagues.
Yep, and it worked out very well for me.
Yes.
The next trade we have that involved a Colt. Here we go. Jonathan Taylor for the 107 and 108.
Yeah, I'm taking Taylor. Even in Superflex, I like that 107, 108, what's there, but I'm still taking Taylor. I think in a lot of startups, he's like going top five right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, that's like top five for like what, a fifth and a sixth rounder or something. I'll take it.
I just pulled up the draft. The picks weren't made at the time, but now they are. So this ended up being Jonathan Taylor for Travis Etienne and Najee Harris. Does knowing the players change your mind at all?
Wow. It does change it a little. Like, I think I still take Jonathan Taylor, but I really like that haul.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's some good depth for that team.
And it's funny, because this actually ended up being a little, for the guy who actually traded Jonathan Taylor, it ended up being something different because he didn't make those picks.
Oh, he traded them away. Oh, yeah, I see
the
that
next
now.
Trade. Yeah.
He traded them away also. But I yeah, because it's really funny because I was, we're all so commingled in group chats that he ended up posting that question in the chat I was in. And I'm like, well, man, keep Jonathan Taylor. And then I went and DM'd the guy who had the 107 and the 108. And I'm like, yo, can I get one of those?
The thing people forget about, and I'm sure on Trade Addicts, they do not forget about it. But what you're really getting is Jonathan Taylor and you're moving a man up or opening a roster spot. And that has value.
Yeah, especially if you are the kind of person that is not like your one friend. And like me, I hate decisions. So I hate having depth on my team. Okay. But if you do have depth on your team, selling a guy, getting rid of two pieces for one piece is a really good move because you get rewarded for that depth by having a better mm-hmm. starter.
Yeah, and you can always trade for that second starter later.
And that's always exactly what's going to happen. Like, I still, to this day, no matter how much I scream about it, I get DMs. It's like, I'm weak at wide receiver too. Should I make this trade? It's May. You're not weak at anything. it is so far away from starting a setting lineup that you should not be caring about positional strength whatsoever.
Right.
And especially make your league change so you start one of everything and the rest are flex. And then it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's personal preference. I'm not going to league shame people. My bad. Sorry. I got a little overexcited.
No, I get it. I get it.
Okay, so let's... Yeah. No, okay. Well, that was our news. We talked about the Colts. We have a whole lot of draft trades. And we have... The thing I have for the main event is we've had enough Trade Addicts leagues go, rookie drafts go, in past the second round that we actually have... five of them. So we actually have a little bit of ADP. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit because especially like that last trade with Jonathan Taylor was made while those picks were on the clock. So he knew who was available. But I want to read down this list that is, it's funny. Everyone's always, well, those are mocks. You never know what it's like. It's always different when it's really your team. This is real. These are all real. And mm-hmm. they are exactly the same as almost every single mock I've seen.
Yeah, that's why I like the Safe Leagues ADP, because it's like real money on the line. It's 300 leagues of real, of the same type, at least, hundreds of leagues of the same type.
Yeah, so we have no leagues that tried to be clever except for, okay, disclaimer, Trade Addict 6 is not included in this because I don't know if you saw the tweet thread by J. Mike. Who I love as
I saw the thread. I did not watch the videos. I heard it was really good, but I was really busy when I saw it.
If you have like 10 minutes, well, if you have like 15 minutes, sit and watch them all because okay. J. Mike's hilarious and amazing. And he completely ruined my 9 league ADP because I can't use what he did in the entire first round because he took Trevor Lawrence at 112 because he could.
Wow.
But, okay. Well, he had the entire first round.
Did he really?
He had, I believe it was 18 of the first 24 picks.
Jeez. That's almost like catch 22 league style.
Yes.
If you remember those leagues.
Yes, I absolutely do. But he traded all of them and only earned the 102, weirdly enough. But yeah, he had the first 12. The only reason our toilet bowl consolation prize is the 113, which Brian Harbour just refused to give him. He refused to give him those first like 16 straight picks, just on pure principle. So yeah, J. Mike pretty much did whatever the hell he wanted. But we had five actual drafts that happened. Trevor Lawrence went first in all of them, which I got to be honest, I was waiting for one person to be like, nah, man, Fields is the truth, and like just throw everything off. But nope, Lawrence won. Earliest, one latest, one everywhere. We have a three-way tie for the next two picks. Three picks. Yep. Well, next pick. Let's just put it that way. Justin Fields, Kyle Pitts, and Trey Lance all have an ADP within the threes. They go in that order, though. Fields, Pitts, and Lance. All of them were picked the earliest of two. The only thing that was different is Lance fell to six in one draft, where Pitts and Fields were the latest of five.
Yeah, Lance is my two, so I don't agree with that.
Okay, no, I want to talk about this a little bit.
I just think his ceiling is higher, his weapons are better, and I don't trust the Nagy Pace combo in Chicago. I have Lance slightly ahead of Fields there. But honestly, for like, I think for most people, it's like 2A, 2B, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not ridiculous to say that. I know lots of people that also have Lance ahead.
Well, it also depends on format, because in the Pigs Leagues, which have the points per carry, I went pretty high for Lance.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Fields runs too, but I mean, Lance is more of that.
And with that offense, yeah.
Yeah. Fingers crossing, they do a whole lot of it. Those three have the next little tie. Then Najee Harris and Ja'Marr Chase, which are practically next to each other. The only reason they're different is because Najee went as early as 3-1 and Chase only made it up to 4. And then we don't finish out the quarterbacks. We still have one more. Zach Wilson, early as 4, latest of 9. Travis Etienne, which is earliest of 7, the latest of 9, and has a perfect ADP of 8. So apparently that is exactly where he belongs. And to finish out the first round, we have Mac Jones, Javonte Williams, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, I think almost every single draft I've been in, not even just the Trade Addicts leagues, have been the 12. I don't think I saw a single person outside of those people find their way into the first. Which
I was just going to say, that's the exact first round I've been seeing. That maybe occasionally you get a sermon in there or something from somebody who's overdrafted running back.
I think I've seen tweets about it, but I've never actually seen it in a draft.
Yeah, like, I feel like we're all too scared of Keyshawn Vaughning.
Yeah.
pushing someone up just because they're a running back in a somewhat decent situation, though. Is San Francisco a decent situation?
I think it is if he gets the real work. Like,
that's the question. There's still 8 running backs there.
Yeah. and we're also, maybe it's just me, but I think some of us are still a little stung from Shanahan pounding the table for Joe Williams or whatever his name was like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Literally pounding the table. That was the phrase that was being thrown around.
And then nothing from him at all. You know, like, so, like I believe they traded up in the fourth round for that guy and then didn't run him at all. So, you can't put him above those guys. It is a great spot. And I know Matt Waldman absolutely loves Trey Sermon and loves that fit for him. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I got bit by, man, I was such a big Tevin Coleman fan. And then when he was one of my most owned players that year where he hit free agency and then he goes to San Francisco and I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Shanahan again's like, we go back to his father. He did this to us too. This isn't new. Like, it runs in the family. Like, so if I fall into Jeff Wilson, if I fall into Raheem Mostert, I'm happy. I'm not going to spend on a single running back in those backfields.
I still don't, there's a big pet peeve of mine with people like, and this is just a sidetrack on Jerick McKinnon. Like, people were touting the crap out of him based on like his spark scores from 26 years ago. And his, you know what I mean? Like, I watched that guy in Minnesota. He had flashes the last couple of years, but 80% of his runs, he did not have it anymore. But you saw Twitter light up. Look at his, burst score and stuff from 9 years ago.
See, it's funny. It was almost a satire. He's been
in the league
a
few years.
Yeah, he was on Minnesota for at least 4 or 5 years and then was being outplayed by Matt Asiata. So, but I think it was almost a satire about how much I love Jerick McKinnon just because, Brian loved making fun of me for it. But I really did. I always wanted him to be a thing. But
me too.
Quickly knew he never was going to be.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't quick for me, but my problem is people talking about combine statistics 5 years after their career, right? that bugs me. Like, I get still loving a guy a little past the point where you should have given up on him.
Oh man. Now I'm just going to sit here thinking about Jerick McKinnon the entire, and he just got signed where, like Kansas Jets. City or something. The Jets. Was that what it is? Yeah, somewhere where, he's going to play. So he's going to be the next big thing. So it's cool. All right. So let's just round out let's do the second round real quick, just because we had a couple of people in the chat asking about it. Let's see. We ended with Waddle. So yes, Trey Sermon was the next pick. Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore.
Oh, no, you're right. Jerick McKinnon is the Chiefs.
Okay, cool. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Clyde Edwards-Helaire is terrible at goal lines, and clearly Jerick McKinnon is a goal line back, so I'll take it, right?
Yeah. Coleman's the Jets.
Yes, Coleman's the Jets. And that's going to happen too. Forget Perine and Carter. It's Coleman season. He probably just pulled his hamstring getting excited about it. Where were we again? So Trey Sermon, Rashad Bateman, Rondell Moore, a tie between Terrace Marshall, Michael Carter, and Elijah Moore.
This tells me I'm overdrafting Terrace Marshall.
Where are you taking him?
I took him at the 201 and 202 in multiple mocks over the last week.
He went as high as 15 and as low as 18. So he's pretty pigeonholed in that.
So I would have been taking him at like 13 and 14. So that's why I'm saying.
You go get your guy, right?
That's what you do. He played 83% slot and Curtis Samuel's gone and he's back with Joe Brady. I mean, like, and I you know, what's his face? Robbie Anderson's going to be gone next year. I mean, man, I just like it.
Where are you guys at on? I mean, I think where he's here, Bateman is where he's going in almost every draft, and I never end up with him because I just don't happen to. I think he goes 201 or 202 in every draft. I mean, I guess I just don't happen to have those picks, and I'm kind of keeping him there because I try not to let a landing spot affect it too much. But I will admit, I am one of those people that Baltimore landing spot scares the hell out of me. I'm curious where you two are at on that.
Yeah, so like I keep seeing him going on that corner. Mm-hmm. I know it's not a corner and a snake, but you know, the end of the first, early second. And I'm like, he was like my 103, you know, like I always worry that like, I'm a Minnesota boy, right? Like, so I always worry that there's two, but like, there's nothing he doesn't do well, except for top end speed. Like he does everything else except for the top end speed. So, just those outside receivers never seem to perform well in Baltimore. And that even predates, you know, Lamar Jackson. So it's rough. I agree. It's a rough landing spot. I like that he can do a lot of stuff. And I like that he owns the ball in the air, like jump balls, contested ball. He owns it. And I think that's going to be fairly okay for him. You know, I figure maybe his touchdowns will get him up for that lack of volume.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it just seems the ceiling is going to be capped. I mean, what did they throw, like 450 times a year or something like that? Ugh. So,
see, it's the reason I am mildly optimistic. I'm with you, Scott. I'm a big fan of the player.
Yeah,
Baltimore's been searching for that guy.
Yeah.
Like, Miles Boykin, they even brought like Willie Snead, Dez Bryant. Like, they've been bringing in these bigger bodied guys to try and do something. And I guess, at this point, I will say Bateman's better than all of those guys, you know, like without even seeing him on the field. And he's better at other things than those guys, too. So let Marquise Brown run down the field, take a safety with him, and then let the eight tight ends and Rashad Bateman do whatever they want in the middle. And just cross your fingers it goes to Bateman more than it goes to Mark Andrews or, I mean, whatever. Like Josh Oliver is there now, right? Like one of those random guys. So I do think, will he be a wide receiver one? Sorry, no. You know, just that is probably going to be a product of that offense. But I do think he could be a super strong mid-low end too if he has a really good season.
And if he does that, I mean, 201, 202 isn't a prohibitive price to pay for that, right? Yeah.
It's funny, like even before the draft, that's where Bateman really was going, like closer to I mean, it was closer to the 10 than it was the 202, but it was still around, I went to say the corner too because that's just what we're used to calling it, but you know, it was around that area. Now I forgot where we were. So Michael Carter, Elijah Moore, Pat Freiermuth, because we have that 1.75 premium. And man, this might be the lowest a first round pick has dropped. Kadarius Toney has an ADP of 20.5, the earliest of 19, the lowest of 23.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, I don't have a single share because
he's a guy nobody liked, and he didn't go into a great situation. Mediocre quarterback, a decent amount of other weapons around him. So.
Yeah, like when Mecole Hardman was drafted way too early, at least it was to the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, and we thought Tyreek Hill might be going somewhere. So that's why he got boosted. I think this is people wising up a little bit where, okay, no, this is just a fast guy that's not going to be good for fantasy. We you learned know, our Henry Ruggs.
If I'm going to make a case for Tony, and I really don't, because like even at that point in the draft, like I found myself taking Brown and stuff. I have not drafted Tony in a single. I haven't done any. I only have rookie auctions right now. I don't have any rookie drafts until I have one in August. But all the mocks I've done, I've never taken Tony once. But if there's anything to like, you know, maybe he's the only underneath option for Daniel Jones. Like Evan Engram is more of a seam stretcher, you know. Like maybe he does enough gadget work, but Saquon's coming back. He catches a lot of balls too. There's not much to like.
Yeah, but Saquon coming back makes that offense better. That's what I stick to. You know, yeah. He was bad because that offense was bad. Then when
rising
he left,
tide raises all boats, awful. Right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I will say one other thing in his defense is just historically last year, Ayuk was a first round guy that nobody really, he wasn't going much earlier than this.
He was going at least like in the early mid second. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what, 208?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so nine technically in the trade, obviously.
And his value has shot up tremendously since then, though he did have to have a lot of people get hurt for that to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, same thing with Engram when we saw how that ended. And I'm terrified of Ayuk because of that. The only time I tried to get Kadarius Toney was in a best ball league. Because I never want to have to decide to start him. But those two games where he goes nuts, I got him.
Sure. Plus that receiving core plus backfield, like everyone gets injured all the time for some reason. They must have the worst injury / training staff or something.
The Chargers, right up always there the Chargers.
Washington and the Chargers. I was just yep.
Who do we got left? Okay, we have Kyle Trask, and then there's De'Ami Brown.
Sure,
Hunter Long out of almost nowhere.
Yeah,
he has an ADP of 22. He was drafted the earliest of 22 and the latest of 22.
Okay.
Every five drafts, he was picked at the 22 pick. That's insane.
It is. I love that.
I didn't notice that until right now.
I see Tremble go ahead of him consistently. The Trade Addicts League.
Not on this list.
Yeah. The Trade Addicts League, maybe they have a little. Like, I don't mean this in a negative way, but almost like a little bit of a group think going on where they talk
clearly.
they push Long into this position where they and they absolutely may be right on it too. Who knows?
I Tremble did not make the top 25, at least ADP wise. We finished with Amari Rodgers and Kenneth Gainwell also tied at 22. Oh, and Amon-Ra St. Brown with 22.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, those four guys.
I've also taken St. Brown much higher than this show. Oh no, that's about right. I've taken him in the third in a lot of drafts. So yeah, that's good. That's good.
I stick by when you have three children who are all wide receivers and all of them say that Amon-Ra is the best wide receiver in the family. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust that.
Yeah.
And you know, Detroit besides Hockenson is a big, who knows. Before the draft, I was buying all the Quintez Cephas I could just because it was a guy I knew who did decently for like two games when the first two games when Baby Tron was hurt. So, but there's no reason it can't be St. Brown underneath.
Yeah. Now we're getting into the, you know, decent receivers just in great spots. The Nikos, the St. Browns, the Josh Reynolds is on there. Josh Porter for San Diego.
Yes,
Los Angeles. Excuse me. Wow,
it's been three years,
and I'm still saying it. That's a good spot if Mike Williams moves on after the year. You know, like
I want him to at this point because I want Mike Williams to be a thing, but it's clearly not going to happen in San Diego.
Yeah,
because # Team Clemson big wide receivers.
Amari Rodgers is interesting with like. Taking over the slot is great there, but without Aaron Rodgers.
Who knows if that means anything?
Yeah. I like that there's two A Rodgers on that team.
Yeah, A Rodgers. Yeah, he has to be AA Rodgers.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't gotten that Green Bay wide receiver too hype. I guess maybe it is the Aaron Rodgers fear that he might be leaving. Every year it seems we talk about the Green Bay wide receiver too, and they drafted one with decent draft capital, and I've seen him fall into the third in plenty of my drafts. I'm a little surprised he's not getting a little more hype.
I think maybe we've just given up on it. We've all been burned way too much by spending much on it.
That's
spending
a good too much point on too.
I do too many mocks with Packer fans, so he tends to go more in that range that you're seeing here.
Oh, speaking of Packer fans, I was absolutely making fun of Matt Price because I was telling him I was watching the petite pods that you did with Peter Doodle, and she asks, you know, what team do you think is just going to completely underperform and fall apart? And without thinking, you go Packers, and you see Matt in the back just go. It was just such a perfectly timed reaction that, like, no gap between her asking, you saying, and him going, oh.
Yeah, that's a fun little show. It's
seriously, I think it was Thursday or Friday. I sat and watched all of them.
Yeah,
you know, she has like maybe 10 or 15. The longest one is like 3 minutes.
Yep.
And afterwards, I've been in group chats with her before, but I've never actually really talked to her before. Yeah. I just DM'd her. And I'm like, hey, I just sat and watched all of your shows. They are freaking brilliant. Good job. Keep going.
Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's so fantastic. Awesome.
Okay, well, we're going to actually finish this ADP now that we've been trying to finish. Nico Collins, Chuba Hubbard, which, man, what a fall. Kellen Mond, Dwayne Eskridge, which was one of the weirdest draft picks ever for a Seahawks fan, and Josh Reynolds because he was a free agent somewhere. Mm-hmm. And because Tennessee didn't take any other pass catchers. So that is our two round. Just to give anyone who hasn't started their rookie drafts yet an idea of five drafts that have gone and where these players are sort of falling. So hopefully you found that somewhat helpful. Otherwise, it was just us talking for the hell of it, in which case that's really what we're here for anyway. So I don't really care if you found it helpful.
Trask and Mond going above Davis Mills here. I was just talking to Tom Kislingberry about that. I saw that happen in another mock the other night I was doing a live podcast and we did a mock and that happened. And I hadn't seen that before, but it seems to be happening more and more now.
Yes, Mills is usually a top of the third pick.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He goes for more in auctions than the other two, but for some reason is drafted later.
Like Trask and Mond have almost no chance to start in year one, and maybe not even in year two, which is something I find interesting, where Mills has chance in year one.
And then if he does well, who knows what happens. Okay, so let's, at that point, this point, the point we're at right now, jump into some trade addicts. Let's do listener questions because we've been talking for a while and we have a couple of questions, then we'll go back to trades until we get tired of talking. So let's start with a fellow DLFer, as you were talking about Tom Kislingberry, Jeremy Schwab at Jer Schwab. If you yourself were trapped in a scale to fit fishbowl, how would you get out?
Wow. I'm not even sure.
Like, I feel like your answer, the only answer that would probably work is like taking a running start and trying to tip it over, right?
Yeah.
You can't climb out.
But is there water in the bowl? Like, can't I swim to the top? Oh. Is there a treasure chest with a coin that I can try to like make a circle on the glass?
Grab one of the fake gems and try and
like Jeremy Schwab. Oh, he likes Emo's Pizza. He told Matt Price that we should go to Emo's Pizza. I don't know that I'm ever going to forget Jeremy Schwab for that. Are you guys office watchers? You watch The Office?
Yes.
Okay. So there's an episode where there's like two different pizzas. They hold a kid hostage. Like, one's a good pizza, one's terrible pizza. And Kevin Malone's like, it's a hot circle of garbage. That's what Emo's Pizza is in St. Louis. It's a hot circle of garbage. Like, we had six guys. We ordered four pizzas. We didn't even finish two of the pizzas.
Oof.
Like we had two full plus pizzas. The only reason we finished two pizzas between six guys is because we were really fucking hungry. And that's, I swore that's how crazy it was.
And I'm leaving it in just because it's just said a curse word.
Oh my God. It was.
Question is, did you try other pizza? Like, is there good pizza in St. Louis, or was it just this one place was terrible?
Oh, we weren't about to. We've heard there's other good pizza places, but after that one, we're like, we're just not even going to do it. We're going to have the smokehouse. We're going to have the barbecue if we're in St. Louis. You know, like, barbecue is good in St. Louis and Kansas City and Tennessee, Texas. There's so many good barbecue. Barbecue is good. We know it's good. So we had that a few times. But the scale to fit fishbowl, I honestly, if there's water in it, I'm swimming in the top because I'm a good swimmer.
Yeah, I might just be hanging out with the scuba diver at the bottom and just call it a day. I don't know.
Steal his scuba tank. then he drowns and you're a murderer.
Hey, look, survival of the fittest. That's all I'm saying. He asked how I would survive, not how we would all get out.
Oh, nice.
Next question at Andrew Hall FF, coming with the brand. Have you ever allowed trading in SFB in the past, or has it always been trade free? Have you ever considered it, or is it entirely impossible to manage now based on the size?
Wow. Have I ever allowed it? No. Has it always been trade free? Yes. It was partially modeled after like the World Championship of Fantasy Football and like even FFPC and NFFC, like their major tournaments don't allow trading.
Probably too easy to collude.
Yeah, there's too much collusion risk and too much liability with those giant prizes, those $1 million prizes. There's far too much liability. So none of those events ever allow trading. And that's the way it started. So I never had it. Did I ever consider it? I think probably 5 or 6 years in, I probably considered it a little bit and then came to the same realization that those tournaments came. It's too much to manage. It's too much to look into. I figured people would be hitting me up with like issues, like trades that were accidents and stuff during the year. And just with that many leagues, I didn't want to deal with it. So mostly the answer is no. Yes, I've considered it, but briefly, barely considered it.
It's funny. I've been in for 2 or 3 years. I can't even remember anymore. And I know I've asked you once every year before. So, hey, trading this year. And now that I know what it's like to run more than like 3 leagues, I'm not even going to ask because it's just like, no, oh my God, no, that is not worth it. No.
That's 100 plus leagues at the same time. Yeah, no.
Screw that. I mean, I think I run about 14 normal leagues and then 2 leagues that are 48 teamers. And I do not even want to, I mean, clearly there's trading in all of those, but the amount of issues that we run into in just those leagues, not to mention, you know, how many people are going to be in whatever, what are we in 11 now?
Yep.
So how many people are going to be there?
Collusion side. No, we are debating two different numbers. And so we haven't released an exact number because we're not sure.
Last year it was 14 something, Russ.
People like to think collusion almost never happens, which it really almost never does, because people select a group of people that they trust for leagues, like all the Trade Addicts leagues. You probably select people you know mostly. Like I know you are very good about, you know, spreading out the love and getting new people for all the leagues. But like in safe leagues, we've caught collusion several times and snuffed it out. Like I've seen a lot of collusion over the last few years that we've been able to prove and get rid of. And I think in SFB, where there's so many people I don't know, I think that could happen. So
and it's so competitive. So like people want to win that so bad.
Yeah. There's a very big difference between a random TA league that's run by someone, you know, and then it's just, you know, SFB where there's thousands of people that if you win, you're going to get known and that I'm going to make it that way. And then people, of course, you know, are jerks and want to ruin that for everyone. So, of course, I was always joking when I asked because I never expected it to happen. I'm not even going to do that anymore.
To Nick in the chat, it will be bigger. And this next wave, I believe, is all first timers.
Oh man, I have to get my GIF button.
It's over 100 and they're all going to be first timers. Yeah, it's a decent wave of all first timers this next time.
Okay. Yeah, and I will say
time is awesome too. Like I made it 9 and I think I still have my 9 invitation because I
have
so
all of them.
I think I do too.
if you get into Scott Fishbowl, you get that email. If you tweet it out and nothing at me, DM me, I will throw so many dancing GIFs at you. It's funny because I remember the first year I got in, I was sitting in my office and I got that email and I literally went like, there's no one here that it's will exciting. Get it.
Yeah.
So in the real world, though, like in the people I know, nobody cares about it. I have to go to your group chats and Twitter and
So literally every person on Twitter that I see them post that they got in, I put a dancing gif because someone needs to share in the excitement with these people. Now, nowadays, the way Dynasty or Fantasy Twitter has become gigantic, everyone at least knows a few people. But still, I will not let one invite pass me by without sharing some excitement because you deserve it. It is awesome. And in your real life, there's just chances are there's no one that gets it.
It's true.
I'm with you on that too. I always try and congratulate, especially the first time. I don't do the gifs as much as you do, but definitely the
dancing gif every single time.
I got a fun story that I don't know that I've told on a podcast. I believe I might have told it once or twice.
All right, let's just pretend you never did, so I feel special.
This might be the first time it's on a live podcast that actually airs. This might be a story I've told out like after a podcast. Mm-hmm. But one time, I was getting lunch in the Skyway at downtown Minneapolis, and a woman saw my Scott Fishbowl shirt, and she's like, "Oh, my son has talked about that," and she wanted to take a picture, and she took a picture of it cutting my head out. And I didn't say anything. Didn't tell. I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." But she took a picture of the shirt, cut my head out like she had it angled down just at my shirt.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I still laugh about that to this day. But
oh, that's so funny. That's one of those things like where you take a picture next to a celebrity not realizing it's an actual celebrity or anything. It's just like you don't realize what's happening, and then
exactly.
I think the son would have liked having Scott Fish in the picture as well. If he's that into Scott Fishbowl that his mom knows about it.
I mean, that is cool. My mom has absolutely no idea what any of that stuff is.
Same here.
All right, next question. Hey Shecky. That is not properly worded. Have four people who mostly play Dynasty often over... Okay, wow. Hold on. Hold on. I need to read this because Shecky, love you, buddy, but man, your English, not great in this one.
I think he's basically just asking...
How do you change your mind from Dynasty to Redraft?
I have that problem myself.
It is a problem. First off, landing spot matters way more than talent.
Yes.
you flip that first in your mind. I don't really tell people to, shift their mindset for it. I just let them do what they do. I don't really try to help people, but if I, try to shift that mindset, but if I had to, it would just be, look at the situations. The situations matter so much more. The schedule actually matters. Stuff like that. You don't want to go hard at rookies like you think you do. Even Jonathan Taylor wasn't good till halfway through the season last year, right? Like rookie. I've seen people be far more successful not drafting any rookies than drafting some or more, or some or most. It's just one of those things, and it sucked because I love drafting rookies, and that's probably why in redraft I have so results. Like every year, I believe it was a couple of years ago, I tweeted out my records, and I at one point in the I was having the most amazing dynasty year I've ever had. I think it was like something ridiculous, and I'm gonna make this number up because I don't remember what it was. I could look up the tweet, but I was like 54-6 in my dynasty leagues, and 30-30 in my redraft leagues or something. Like, I made those numbers up, but you get it. Like, I had almost no dynasty losses in my redraft sucks because I have the same problem, man. I have the same problem. I can't get out of that mindset.
See, that's the one reason I love that SFB has pretty deep rosters because you can do those first few, you could fill your lineup and then go nuts with the younger guys that, this is that second year breakout. Yeah. Let's go do this. This is going to be the rookie. So you still get that chance at it's not like 15 roster spots like your average redraft is. You could still get those guys. Just you don't have to hope they do anything. Right.
And I did that to in the last 2 years. I had AJ Brown 2 years ago and Justin Jefferson last year. Didn't provide me as much success last year as it did in nine. But
my goal is just top half every year. That's my goal, top half. And 2 years ago, I did not do that. Last year, I did.
And I'm the opposite.
I've made the playoffs 8 out of 10, so I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah. 1 year I was 1-12 or 1-11. I lost 7 or 6 of my first 9 draft picks to injured reserve. Try to come back from
that. That'll do it.
It's good for you for even trying. I would just been like, right now.
But at least it's something I get to be like, I was 1-11 in that thing. Like, who cares how bad you are? Just play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unlike that one jerk. we're gonna forget that guy. It's rough, especially because at least the way I think about it, that this group we're in is like a dynasty community. So like there is a large, but you got to imagine a lot of these people probably do just play redraft. So
here's the different thing about this though. He says for redraft leagues, but he also says like SFB 11, like for redraft leagues, you really have to shift your mindset. But for SFB 11, like you want super high upside guys, and maybe the dynasty mindset helps in that a little.
Yeah. Right? There are no redraft leagues like SFB 11.
Yeah. Yeah. You need super high upside to be able to win that thing.
Yeah.
Nick wants to know, did any of us play in redraft leagues besides SFB? It's my only strict redraft. I'm in two keeper leagues, but SFB is my only strict redraft one.
I don't play in any regular redraft leagues. I test what I want to do in a dynasty league in redraft. Yes. Like I test crazy unique settings in random redraft leagues every single year. I have about as many redraft leagues as dynasty leagues every year, but I'm able to drop them off and realize what settings I think might translate. Yeah, so I do, but they're not.
So normal. How many are we talking? How many dynasty leagues are you in?
I am generally in 6 to 9 dynasty leagues a year nowadays. I've pared that down from when I was used to being like 35 dynasty leagues.
Yeah.
Like 35, set your lineup, do waivers, everything dynasty leagues. I try to keep that under 10 now. And then I'm in probably, 5 to 15 redraft leagues, and it's usually testing settings.
I've basically been in one since not to the extent of Scott, but been in the same one for the last 15 years. I think about 10 of the guys have been in it most of that time. And I would make the playoffs almost every year and never won. And then I started getting to dynasty heavy and 3 years ago, I've won 2 of the last 3. So even having trouble switching that mindset, I think it's helped me be better at redraft and beat those home league guys. And I think it does help if the more you know, basically.
Yeah, pretty much like we were saying at the very beginning of the show, which feels like 6 hours ago, because man, time with you guys just crawls. we pay attention to a little bit more than the casual person, like that line, offensive line change, which some people might miss. We know that it's Jonathan Taylor season, baby. So you jump on him a little bit earlier. We have two more questions. At Quantum Turner, it's always tough to say that one. So Tim Turner, why haven't you started the Scott Shark Bowl?
Probably because that's not my last name. I guess it's the number one reason.
An inside joke that I didn't know about, so I just left it there.
So many times I've had people try to redesign my logo for me, the fishbowl logo, because I basically took a couple stock images and slammed them together, and I designed it myself, and people have tried to redesign it. I've had them redesign it with a shark in there. I'm like, that's too aggressive.
Yes. That's not the point. It absolutely is. Like, the logo's perfect. And I still stick by the SFB 7, the Disney one.
Oh, that's the best shirt.
And the comfiest shirt ever.
Yeah.
Like, I have the long sleeve hooded shirt, and the logo is mostly gone at this point, but I will still wear that shirt all the time because it is so freaking comfortable.
Like, a year later or 2 years later, I'm like, so many people are requesting like this shirt because they played in it but didn't buy a shirt. Yep. And we could not find the image again. And we couldn't remember what company we used for it for the shirt. So we couldn't redo it. But People love fake that shit.
Disney castles.
Yeah, I tried that. We've tried every search we could. We can't find it. It's terrible.
Hey, bored people who are listening, get on that. All right, last question. Matthew Coop Cooper. I see Coop and I just think of basketball. He would like to know, why the heck did you invite @_Coop to play in SFB 11? Yeah, why'd you let that guy in?
Pure accident. Pure. And now that I know about it, I can correct it, which there is great. No, he's a positive force out there. I like seeing that. Like seeing that out there.
Coopliments.
Yeah, and I even replied to that. I'm like, is this a hashtag reverse coupliment? Like, he's just looking for someone to say something.
I've never received a coupliment, I don't think.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You better get on that, Coop, because, you know, your invite's hanging on this. He's going to pull it. It's the rug under your feet that he's ready to pull. The tablecloth and the flowers are still standing.
Do you know what you have to do to get uninvited for SFB? Like... It's only happened like a handful of times. It's pretty tough to do.
I want to say I can't even imagine, but sadly I've seen a couple of tweets that probably led to it. So
at least one this year and at least one last year.
Yep. Yeah.
Got uninvited. Oh.
All right. Well, that's all our listener questions. So assuming you are not tired of us yet, we can do some more Trade Addicts trades.
I'm good.
Russ, nice. Scott, before we get into the Trade Addicts trades, I wanted to ask your opinion on a trade I've received while we were on the show.
Oh,
okay.
Win now team on the clock, 109 for DeAndre Hopkins.
You're a win now team? I'd take Hopkins. If I'm a win now team, I'd take
That's
Hopkins.
What I think. I'm wondering if I'm overthinking this. This is
Yeah. I made almost that exact same trade last year. I traded my first rounder for DeAndre Hopkins on a win now team, and that first rounder turned into like 111.
Yeah, your pick's going to be the 112, man.
It was auction money, but you know what I mean.
Okay, I'm going to do it. It's actually TA9, by the way, Russ.
Stop getting good. My team's good in that league.
I could probably use another quarterback there, but and Mac Jones is on the board, but. I'm going to take Hopkins anyway. It's done.
Come on, Scott. Why'd you got to do me like that? You should have known. Nick, who's in the chat, is also in that lead.
Damn it.
I think he realized it as I was asking it.
Yep, there you go. Damn it.
Nick has been all over this chat tonight.
Nick is here for every single show. He sits and hangs with us. The weird thing is there are multiple Nick Martinez's that like to hang out with us.
Wow.
There's one in TA3 and one in TA9.
Well, as I'm looking about, guess how many Nick Martinez's signed up for Fishbowl?
I know of three.
At least those two.
I know of three Nick Martinez and then Nico Martinez.
Yep. There are eight Nick Martinez's and one Nico Martinez signed up.
Nico is in my Harry Potter league. Yeah.
am I the only Rocky though?
Oh, I actually can check stuff like this. Super
I know. Quick. I saw you doing it on another podcast. It might have been I can't remember. It was some podcast.
You are. No, you are not. There are two.
Damn.
Who do we have to kill?
Yeah, there are two Rockies, and actually last year there was a different one. So there have been three different Rockies.
Okay.
There can be only one Rocky.
I know.
We'll get that Highlander sword out of your closet.
There you go. Okay, but you were going to do the Trey Annex trades.
My train of thought's completely gone at this point. Let's just start from the top, right? Okay, so I put this one in here. This is Trade Addicts 2 because this is a very small trade compared to everything else we're probably going to go through. But this is Tyler Higbee for the 308 and the 408. First of all, 1.75 PPR for tight ends. And Gerald Everett's gone. And we've seen Matt Stafford use tight ends. Do we like Tyler Higbee more than the 308 and the 408? Like, I feel like I would easily send those picks for Tyler Higbee, even if it's just a stab in the dark.
No question. I would.
Yeah. I don't even like Tyler Higbee that much. And I would do that.
That's the question. That's the answer I kind of wanted, which is like, am I crazy? Or like, cause I mean, I'm not super high on the guy anyway, but I feel like situations came together. Like, this is one of those things just worked out right. You know, it doesn't matter. We're talking about situation over player, where everyone just sort of went away and he got a better quarterback.
And especially in this draft where we're talking about the round of the 208, 209, you're just like, ugh, I don't know who the hell I want to pick here anymore.
So we're talking like
full round beyond that. And
Kylan Hill or for Tyler Higbee.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. So that's good. We're jumping down to TA5. Trey Sermon. This was actually after a draft, which is cool that we actually had a trade with a rookie post they were drafted. Trey Sermon and Justin Jefferson for CEH and Brandon Ayuk. What do you think of that, Scott?
Ah, man. See, this is unfair for me because, like, Justin Jefferson is currently my Dynasty 101, right?
But see, the thing is, like, he's what he can't, he's probably not below wide receiver 3 or 4 for anybody.
No,
like, he's, I mean, even in a super flex league, the end of the first round, around
this is one of those where I wish I knew more info on the teams, but
that's cheating.
Yeah, I know that is cheating. I think I'd probably take Clyde and Ayuk, but I really want to, like, if it was my team, I would take the Jefferson Sermon side because then I'm getting Jefferson and I'll figure out the rest, right? But I think just on paper, the other side is probably the better side.
What about you, Rock?
Yeah, I'm with Scott on the on paper thing. I'm with him on Justin Jefferson. I'd rather have Justin Jefferson's easily the best player in this deal. I mean, we've talked multiple times, you and I, Russ, about Ayuk and our question marks about him.
I don't care. I'm taking Jefferson. I don't care anymore. I'm just looking at
this. I'm glad.
I got to have Jefferson. I'm sorry. I have Justin Jefferson zero leagues, and that pisses me off. So I'm taking Jefferson.
Again, pigs 2 or 3, boot someone out, and whoever has Justin Jefferson. Well, one of the four people. Come on, you even have options at that point.
That's basically my rationale. I'm taking Jefferson. I think Trey Sermon's been way overrated in this rookie process. And I do like CEH to kind of have a little bit better season than last year. But the difference between Jefferson and Ayuk is bigger than the difference between CEH and Sermon for me. So,
see, here's my thing. There are question marks on 3 out of the 4 players in this trade. And the one there is not happens to be the most valuable.
Yeah.
So that right away is what pushes me towards the Justin Jefferson side. We hold on to what we evaluated, like, again, like you were saying, we're talking about Jerick McKinnon's spark score still. Like, we are going nuts to the fact that we drove CEH up to the number 5 overall. And while, yes, he absolutely can be better than he was, you know, a couple at the end last year. Like, the beginning of the year, he seemed like he was doing pretty well. Like, can he be better than that? Sure. But they keep bringing in running backs. And they don't pass to the running back that much in the first place. Like, to me, that caps his upside a lot. So can he be a top 12? Yeah, probably. Can he be top 5? I don't think so. Justin Jefferson, I think, can easily be a top 5 wide receiver. And the thing is, his value will be top 5 wide receiver as long as he doesn't suck. And we've seen he doesn't. And Trey Sermon, again,
it's Adam just Thielen's going to be gone eventually.
Right? You know,
but I wouldn't count this year, though, because the year after he has a kid – he has, like, 1 year he had like 1,300 yards, another year he had 14 touchdowns, and he's gonna have a kid this year. So like Thielen's gonna ball this year, but
yeah,
if the baby narrative works. But
I'm done saying guys are gone.
Those two things are clearly related.
Yes, very. Aaron Rodgers with the girlfriends. It works.
Yes, yeah.
You know, you don't question it. You don't need numbers for it.
Just figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. I like CEH. I like the idea of him. When everyone freaked out about...
I gotta tweet that. Russ Fisher. I like the idea of CEH.
Like, honestly, like, Kansas City wasn't the greatest landing spot. Like, we needed him to land at a bad offense. Like, if he landed in Detroit, I think he would have been better off because they dump off a whole lot. Or Jacksonville or just somewhere like he caught passes and he got drafted by a team that doesn't throw to them.
It's funny you say that though, because that landing spot is what vaulted them into the top five in one QB last year.
He was still my four or five in that draft. Yeah. To me, it was still Burrow and Tua 1-2, and I still had Jonathan Taylor ahead of him. But I don't actually make rankings, so it doesn't really matter. So I can't like sit here proving that I was right, because I didn't get to draft any Jonathan Taylor anyway. But again, besides the point. And then Ayuk, again, he did really freaking well with what was put in front of him. Kittle missed half the season. Debo missed half the season. And while both of them are, I'm not going to say the words injury prone, even though I literally just said them, they happen to get hurt a decent amount. Are you kind of like grasping to that? Like they're going to combine miss 3-4 games where Ayuk's going to go nuts and then he's going to be good for just take Justin Jefferson. Like you're overthinking it by not taking Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay, so we talked a lot about that trade. We could just move on. Okay, so this one is too long, so we're going to skip it for right now. We're just going to jump to TA7, where this was the 204 for a 23 first.
How is that other one long? It's basically just DK Metcalf for Michael Thomas, right?
Yeah, but it was a lot of... See, that's the thing. That's what confused me. Like, we have completely written off James Robinson as absolutely... And Mike Gesicki is absolutely nothing already.
Well, and I equated James Robinson's timeshare with Jameis Winston's potential superflex starting ability for a year, you know, like...
All right, well, we've already talked about half the trade, so we might as well just do it now. Okay. All right, so James Robinson, DK Metcalf, Mike Gesicki, and a 23 third for Jameis Winston, Mike Davis, Michael Thomas, and a 23 second. So, yeah, like to me, like you said, this is pretty much writing off. This is DK Metcalf for Michael Thomas plus dart throws. And
one of the dart throws is a...
Yeah. Since one of the dart throws is a quarterback, that makes it a little bit more valuable.
Yeah. But, I mean, your leagues are all ones and then flexes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's like, and your tight end premium, Mike Gesicki, is going to be there at least for another year or second. Like, people forget that, like, Mike Gesicki, like, he practiced with Tua. Like, he went on and practiced on the – even though he was a starter, he practiced on the practice, like, on the third string or whatever, second string, with Tua all the time. I like that connection. I think James Robinson is still going to be flex-worthy. I don't know. I just want DK Metcalf in that deal. I think it's similar to the Justin Jefferson. I want the best player.
Yeah, see, to me, like, you're trading guys we've seen do well for – guys that are declining or and like Mike Davis, like
you need the second. Here's the thing about the second half. You need everything to hit. You need Jameis Winston to be the starter. You need Mike Davis to take the Atlanta backfield. Yep. You need Michael Thomas to work with whatever quarterback comes in.
Well, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, there you go. So like, I think the other ones are already there. You just don't want them to drop off.
Yeah. See, I saw this trade. I'm like, why would you trade away Robinson, Metcalf, and Gesicki for that?
Yeah.
Like that. That's, and I, you know, I'm not going to say who did what, but that's honestly like just, that's exactly what crossed my mind. It's just like, oh, all right. You kind of seemingly downgraded it a lot, but also like, it's, this seems like it, James Robinson was a throw in. And I think that's harsh. I am always one to say good running backs don't keep their jobs, especially after they get, after they draft a first, what was it, first round running back? Is it, was Etienne in the first?
Yeah.
I think so, right? Like, so, but I don't think Robinson's going to be nothing. I mean, we were riding the fact that he had 99% of their touches. That wasn't going to happen anyway, but I don't think Etienne's going to get 99% of the touches either.
Yeah. I think both their upside is going to be capped this year.
Yes. Okay, let's move on. So yeah, Trey Sermon, which is the 204 for 23 first. This was pretty much a question of at what point do you trade away a pick for a future first? And does the fact that it's a 23 instead of a 22 make that big of a difference for you? How do you feel about, like, I guess you said you don't really care about your future first because they're all going to be the 12 or the 14. Right. Or...
But in this case, Trey Sermon's first year is so potentially timeshared. And a 23 first only goes up in value from this point forward. Like every day, it's going to get more and more valuable. And I think you're going to be able to trade that off for a better piece than Trey Sermon or take a a Trey Sermon-esque or better player. So I'm taking the 23 first.
And honestly, in this specific draft, I don't feel so confident any of those guys we've talked about as top of the first round that I want to give up a first for, even if it's 23.
Yeah, and I feel like if you're halfway through the upcoming season and Trey Sermon, you know, is part of a committee and does pretty well, you could probably still sell him. You could probably still get him for 23 first. Like, I think he has to be the guy in the San Francisco backfield in order for his value to go up from the end of the first, beginning of the second. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't think anyone really thinks that's happening. So
it's crazy. Hasty didn't even look that bad last year. I thought he looked
everyone
decent.
Looks good back there. That's the problem. none of them are a bulldozer like Sermon is. So I don't know if it's a good thing or not. So I'm fine. Like, I have one share. I always have I'm in enough leagues where I make sure I have one share of everyone just in case something happens.
You got your unlimited rosters.
Yeah, I have my just in case shares. It's just makes me feel better about it. Next trade, it was the 109 at the time for Sam Darnold and a 22 second. And the 109 ended up being Javonte Williams. How do you feel about that, Scott?
Yeah, I'll take Darnold in the 22 second on this one. But once again, the 22 seconds only going to go up in value. And it's super flex. You're getting Darnold. But, I mean, he's got lots of weapons. Like, Teddy Bridgewater was a top 20 quarterback last year. And that was Teddy friggin' Bridgewater. Like, Sam Darnold, you know, with Joe Brady, he's got a better deep arm than Bridgewater. I'll take Darnold in the 22 seconds. Javonte might be too much of a timeshare. And they have so many mouths to feed there. I hate generally the mouths to feed thing. Like, I don't know, there's a little cringe to me there, but that's the truth.
It's when they have a better quarterback you care a little
less. Yeah. If they're an offense that's like going to be a top five scoring offense, you're like, hey, everyone. But when it's not that case, I'll take Darnold in a second.
Rock?
I want to be able to say 109 / Javonte Williams, but I think I agree with Scott, especially when you add in the 20. If it was just Sam Darnold, I don't think I would trade the 109 for Sam Darnold, but you add in the 22 second, I think it evens it out. Javonte is, like you said, he's going to – I do think he's going to take over that job. I think it's going to be similar to – or at least to some extent, something maybe like Dobbins Ingram last year or something like that. And his value, I think, will increase. But Darnold's could increase exponentially in that offense. So, and like Scott said, the 22 second is obviously not going to lose value. So I got to go with that. Even though it's the quarterback side, I got to go with Darnold the 22 second.
Yeah. And the two things I love about Darnold right now, well, three things that he's out of Gase. And I always thought he was talented in the first place. And he's going to a much better offense with much better weapons. And the third thing is one of those weapons he did really well with already. Whenever he and Robbie Anderson, I almost said Robbie Williams, but he's not a football player. He and Robbie Anderson were healthy at the same time. They were really freaking good together. And maybe no one paid attention because it's the Jets, and who pays attention to the Jets? It's just Jets tickets are really cheap. So, like, and I'm in New Jersey, so I'm not going to go see a Giants game because they're literally 3 to 4 times the price. So I got to see Sam Darnold throw to Robbie Anderson a lot. And they did really freaking well together when they were both healthy. And now there's going to be people covering other people besides Robbie Anderson. So I am all about Sam Darnold. And if I had the 109, and especially if my team was crappy, and I think like grabbing a running back was probably not something I needed, and if Devontae Smith was off the board, I would easily trade that to go get Darnold in a second. Mm-hmm. I'm with you though, Rock. Like, if that second wasn't there, it would make it a lot harder for me.
I will say though too, I am a big fan of Javonte. I had him as RB2, and I still have him as RB2 post draft. I had him pre draft and post draft above ATN. So, and like I said, I think we could see a big value increase on him, but it's just, yeah, the quarterback thing. And Brady, I'm a big believer in Joe Brady too. So he made Teddy Bridgewater look halfway decent and actually still got fantasy productive seasons out of three wide receivers with Teddy Bridgewater quarterback and no Christian McCaffrey. So
right, so
I love the beauty of your guys' math on that trade. In a 2-to-1, a 1-for-2 trade, if you take away one of the pieces, it's just 1-for-1. It gets closer. The trade gets a little closer.
It gets a little harder to decide. But this, I mean, this is the second really much of anything. It's, you know,
it's another trade piece.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. We actually have a lot of trades that are very similar, so let's just go through those. Debo and a 22 second for a 22 first. And the cool thing, cool is absolutely the wrong word. The interesting thing about this trade is the second and the first are from the same team. So it is literally 12 spots. So the question here is Debo Samuel worth 12 spots to get from the second to the first?
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. I like Samuel. I like the idea of that offense, especially with Trey Lance. And Trey Lance, Matt Waldman was talking about this, is a guy who reads the field low to high. Like, and Debo Samuel does a lot on intermediate and low route and close to the line of scrimmage routes. I think he could be a productive player for, you know, a potential win now team, a team that needs one of those flexes. I'm probably making this trade.
I said this when Ryan McDowell was on. I hate disagreeing with Scott because it makes me feel like I'm definitely the wrong one. But
no, this is a trade where I think roster construction / are they win now or building for the future really matters. I can see either side of this trade.
I'd rather have the first, in part because I think I'm not as high on Debo as Scott is. We mentioned it with Ayuk. I see Debo as secondary to Ayuk, who's secondary to Kittle, who all three of them have to deal with the 50 running backs they have, and that Shanahan likes to run a lot. So Debo's not enough for me to drop around. That's basically what it comes down to for me.
Yeah, and that's what I found interesting about this was I didn't think Debo's value was high enough to get from the 22 second to the first. So it was like, to me, it was good on whoever made that trade. And man, like, again, I have a couple of just in case shares of Debo because I remember being at least intrigued by him when he came out and just all the people shoved into one spot. I do think they can do pretty well with spreading the ball around because assuming they still get every single player hurt on their defense, then, you know, they're still going to have to do a whole lot of offense. And now they actually have a guy who can pass the ball. Well, it's like a different kind of they go from one extreme of Garoppolo, who can only throw the ball like 6 yards, to a dude that can throw it like 86 yards. So it's a little bit of a difference
right,
of how they
right, throw the but ball. He doesn't a lot. Like, he has the ability, like he's got a crazy good deep arm, but most of the time he's throwing short. That's why Trey Lance didn't have a ton of statistical, like, amazing games in those 17 games, is because he doesn't do it a lot, but he can. He absolutely has the ability.
And wasn't Debo that guy that had like an A dot that was like behind the line of scrimmage? Or like
that? Wouldn't doubt it. But I can see either side on this, and I think what matters is where in the first and second that pick it. Like, is it a really good team or a really bad team? Like, if you're moving from 2.24 to 1.12, definitely. If it's like 203 to 103, I'm taking the first in that case. So
I think this was TA9, right? In which case it's the startup year, so there's no telling.
Hard to tell, okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll have to see what happens on that one. Which there was one more. Oh yeah, so there's Jameis Winston for the 304 and a 22 first. So we talked about what we need Jameis Winston to be before. Do you think, would you pay 22 first? Because 304 doesn't mean much. 22 first for Jameis Winston?
Nah, nope. I think he's going to be fairly decent this year, but I don't know how long that he's going to be the quarterback there. And there's a chance he doesn't start every game or isn't the full time starter. I'd probably rather have the picks.
Yeah. That's where I am too.
I think so too, and I think you may have this in the wrong league because I have Winston in TA9 and I did not trade him. But
I'm going to blame you for being in the wrong place because you said you added trades.
But I like Winston for this year if he gets a starting job. But I agree with what Scott said. It's whether he can hold on to it, and And Taysom's still going to be involved, so it's hard. And then who knows, especially depending on – well, I guess if it's not T9, it wasn't the start of year, but you don't know where that first is going to be. So I'd rather have the hold on to the first and trade that for Winston.
Okay, so let's call back to that 107 and 108 for Jonathan Taylor and do the – like we brought it up before that there was a trade right away after it. So the trade was the 107 and the 108, which, again, to remind you, turned into Etienne and Harris for Justin Fields, the 203, 205, and 401. So the 107 and the 108 to move up to pretty much like the 103 area, and you grab the 203 and 205.
Yeah, I'm taking Fields in those picks in a super flex. I like ETN. I like Harris a lot, but Justin Fields has just too much potential for being a top 12 quarterback for many, many years. If I'm winning now, I'd consider the other side more, but I'd rather take Fields and, you know, take three dart throws at probably wide receivers that can last a while.
I think I pretty much agree with Scott. I'm curious, though, with you, Russ, and maybe Scott, just of translating the trade to what the original trade was, then would you trade Jonathan Taylor for that?
There you go. Good job, Rock, stealing my question.
he traded Jonathan Taylor essentially for Justin Fields, 203, 205, because he traded him for the picks and traded the picks for that.
Like, how far – like, I don't know that I would do that. That's a good point. I don't know that I would do that. But
we all also picked Jonathan Taylor in the first round of that. So that does.
That's honestly, that's closer.
I think we all agreed that, yeah, Taylor was the side to go with the over the picks. So, yeah, that's why I was curious. What do you think, Russ?
I think we just made Nick sad. That's what I think. Okay, so when it comes down to the trade in front of us, the 107, the 108 for Fields, I am also I'm on the field side. I get, like, in rookie drafts, like, this is where you draft both of these, the guys. You draft quarterbacks, you draft running backs here. If you're like me and you probably have two or three quarterbacks and zero running backs on your team, which is my TA9 team, I think I would do this to go take my stabs at Etienne and Harris, and I probably would feel somewhat okay about it because I do really like Justin Fields. He is my QB2. I love the landing spot, though I don't love the coaching staff. I just love a good quarterback throwing the ball to Allen Robinson finally. So, and we're also assuming he starts. I still think we get a couple of games of Dalton in there, but does a couple of games matter over the life of a dynasty?
The odds are still on Dalton being the week one starter.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so let's move
on. In Dynasty, do we care about who starts the first 3 weeks of season one? Like, I mean, yeah, we care, but a little bit.
Do we? Probably. Should we? No. Okay, so let's get the one trade that isn't draft-related out of here. So this is, oh man, someone traded their entire running back room. This is Savon Ahmed, Cam Akers, David Johnson, Philip Lindsay for T. Higgins, the 404, a 22 first, 23 first, and a 23 four. Okay. So Cam Akers for T. Higgins, yeah. A 22 first, and 23 first.
So this might sound, I don't know. I know that Twitter's had this thing recently about this, but for me, this is the Higgins and the two first side, and it's not close. Like, it's just not close for me.
I was crushed, literally, not literally, very heavily figuratively crushed when the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase, because I am a huge T. Higgins fan. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so distraught, my internet went down.
That's
one
right.
Did not lead to the other. They just happened at the same time. Yes, I was live streaming, and then the pick happened, and my internet cut out. So, yes, to me, the value of Higgins and Akers probably shouldn't be that far apart in the first place. So if you're going to give me two firsts to get the guy I like pretty much equally anyway, I'm all for that.
I totally agree with both of you. You could take T. Higgins out of this, and I still think I might want the other side. I think Cam Akers is one of the most overrated assets in fantasy football. So,
yeah, there's also that with you.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to give me two firsts for him, and two fourths, whatever, I probably would have done that. You're giving, to me, it's almost a free T. Higgins because I don't care about, you know, the Texans running backs and Salvin Ahmed. So,
You're right. Like if you take one of those first out, I think I'm still taking the Higgins side with the one first.
Yeah.
And he got two of them.
Yeah. I'd do that in a second.
Good job.
By the way, hashtag free tea. Free tea. That means multiple things for me now. So now we have three trades left, all of which are draft related. Some of them are actually, all of these are connected. These are all TA7 trades. And they are all between me, Bobby Koch, and Riley Bymaster. Man, I wish I could remember the order of which these happened. So let's just start at the top of the list. So Laviska Shenault and the 111 for the 107 and the 22 second. So this ended up being, because the draft passed this, Laviska Shenault. Oh, that's right. I ended up trading up for the 111 to the 110. But regardless, I traded up to take Devontae Smith. So it ended up being Shenault and Devontae Smith for the 107 and the 22 second.
You put on here that Zach Wilson was the 107, so that's
easy. Oh, yeah, sorry, Zach.
And LaVisca for me, because I am not a Zach Wilson guy at all.
Neither am I. Yeah,
this is actually really close for me, and it's only because it's super flex with Zach Wilson, but I think I'm taking Shenault and Smith. It's actually really close for me, though.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want to make it a complete picture, you have to add like the 206 right. and 209, because that's what I added to the 111 to get right. to the 110. But it didn't seem worth it to put that trade on there.
Right.
Because freaking Riley was like, dude, I'm going to take Smith and I know you want him. I'm like, son of a bitch, fine. So I traded up. All right, so we're not going to talk about it any further because you both chose my side. The rest, these two are... Let's do this. The 112 and a 22 first for the 106 and the 304. So this ended up being Jalen Waddle and a 22 first for Najee Harris and a 304.
I think this one is, and I think I'm in this league. So I kind of know what's going on here. I think this is somewhat roster dependent because I'd rather have the 106. But Bobby, who I think is the one who traded back and got the 112 and 22 first, is in a rebuild. And yeah. I think getting an extra first. And I like all the guys through the first round in this draft. So for somebody who's rebuilding, I like getting the 112 and the 22 first, overtaking just the 106. And Najee was probably the best guy on the board there, which you don't really want to take Najee Harris in a rebuild necessarily anyway. So I'll take the two first side.
Well, given that info, it's much easier on the first. Like at first glance, this I'm like 112 plus the 22 first. He's getting the 22 first of the current champ. Like that's where my brain went, and I'm like, so you're getting the last pick of each of the two rounds. I think I'd probably lean the Najee side, but given that info, I would go the Waddle on first side.
Yeah, none of those picks were from. None of the picks involved in this were earned, I believe.
Okay.
That's often the case in trade addicts.
Trade addicts, yeah. And the only reason I hate this trade is because I tried to get the 112 from Bobby to take Waddle, and he would not give it to me. So I'm sad that Riley sent this, or actually did the trade in general. But I agree. I think if I'm sitting at the one, okay, let's think about it this way. If I'm sitting at the 106 and someone said, I'll give you the 112 and a 22 first to move back, you know, those six spots, I think I would probably do it, especially if my team isn't very good and I wanted to gain assets. But I really think that is enough in general, that from Harris to Waddle is a big enough mush of players for me that I would be okay doing it anyway to get a first on top.
Mm-hmm.
And our last trade, whew, is the 106 and 208 for the 112, 113 and 203. Again, 113 is our consolation pick for winning the toilet bowl. So it is just a 12 team league. We just add an extra first.
Yep.
So is the 112, 113 and 203 enough to get you up to the 106 and throw in the 208? I love
it. I know we're both like, I think I'd rather have the 106 side in this one, unless I was in total rebuild, especially you're getting the 208, which is borderline.
You're guaranteed Pitts, Chase, Najee, or one of the top three quarterbacks. With
exactly.
I think you got to go 106.
Yeah.
It's really weird. If this was the 11 and 12 instead of the 12 and 13, I'd be so much more for it.
Honestly, even if it was the 107, I might be
flipping. I agree with that too.
You know?
Because, yeah, there's a tier break after six for me as well. Yeah, it's the three quarterbacks and the three top guys at the other positions, and then you go to the next group. Yep.
But then, like, the 113 is that fall off for me, because like, Waddle at the 112, who is the 112 in almost every single draft ever, and then you're stuck at Sermon and planting your flag on Bateman that you're going to take player over situation. And it's just giving up the 106, like you said, that tier, it's just I don't think I could do it.
Yep.
But if you could tell me I can get Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, I probably might do that. You know, that's a lot of gambling involved, but still that one pick, weirdly enough, would do it for me. But as is, I think I stick with the 106. But on that note, that is the end of our show sheet. So that is the end of our show. Scott, thank you so insanely much for taking, well, third podcast today, and God knows what else you did. With it's us. A lot of fun. That's all we hope for. So, but before we do get out of here, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, where they could find what you do, and anything else you feel like pimping out while you're here?
It's just at ScottFish24 on Twitter. That's where you can find anything I'm doing. It's just, I'm glad I finally got on this show. I hear about it all the time, and this is my first time on the Trade Addicts show. So it's, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, thank you for actually saying yes and not making me live my greatest fear of actually finally asking you and you saying no. So, you know, that's
afraid to ask people sometimes.
Everyone, anyone. Like, it's funny. The only reason, I'll even say this out loud, the only reason I actually asked you when I did was because Rocky was literally talking to me at that time saying, have you talked to Scott about coming on yet? Like, 'cause I'm about to DM him. I'm like, I'm literally talking to him right now. Let me just ask him. Because Ryan McDowell was on like 2-3 weeks ago, and I talk to Ryan all the time. Literally have never asked him on the show. Rocky was the one that asked him on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm literally terrified of people. They could say no, that's the worst thing that could happen, right? Right. That will crush my soul. Like that's enough.
Oh man.
Yeah, welcome into my brain. But yeah, thank you very much again for coming on. It is super appreciated. I'm glad you had fun, because if you hated it here, I would cry myself to sleep tonight.
It's an enjoyable show. I like it.
That meant so much. So our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can watch us. We record. Man, Nick Martinez is pretty much a co-host at this point, so with him. You can watch us. I mean, even if it's not at the time, you know, you can you can comment in the chat and make me laugh and not remember what I'm supposed to say.
He's in the chat room when it's not even airing.
Yes. I was talking to him before we started. But you could even if it's not live, you could watch it afterwards. Plus, we have the Cool Kids Club, our chat on GroupMe, which is filled with awesome, awesome people and lots of fun stuff to talk about, whether it's football or not. And then we have ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com, which is our awesome shop where you can get, man, like name a podcast and there's a decent chance I sell their crap because they were too lazy to do it themselves. Anyone on the DAP network, FF Intervention, Dynasty Vipers, Superflex, Super Show, Dynasty Game Night. Well, I mean, I just chose to do that because, you know, at this point, Rocky and I took over that show and I wanted it mug, so I made it. I'm blanking on a whole lot of other people that I greatly apologize, but there's so much stuff. But the awesome part about that is you get all that cool stuff and every penny that comes in goes to charity. Rocky, I hope you have one.
I did, because I knew you were going to ask me, because I totally forgot last week, so it's a good thing I wasn't on. But I listened to the show and you mentioned it. So I actually saw something on Twitter, Swags, Shane Swagger. I don't know if it was I think it was a charity league or something he was tweeting out about, and he mentioned that all the proceeds were going to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation in memory of James the Brain. So I thought that was a great idea, and I wanted to use that as my charity for the next 2 months. So it will be the Brain Aneurysm Foundation.
Love it. That is beautiful. We are, by the way, donating, I think it's $46 to No Kids Hungry. That was from because we switch every 2 months. Our last 2 months was No Kids Hungry. So we're going to give them, $46 to No Kids. And then for the next 2 months, it will be going to the Brain Aneurysm Foundation. James the Brain,
that's
we love you.
Awesome. Yeah. Very awesome. I met him once. He was really.
Yeah, he went to meet you instead of meeting us at the expo.
yeah. That was very awesome. It was very fun. Very good to meet him.
Yeah, I got to talk to him a lot, but never got to meet him in person. But on that note, it is bedtime. So Russ Fisher, Dynasty Outhouse, Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. The show is at Trade Addicts Pod, DLF Family Podcast, DAT Network. Subscribe, rate, review, all that fun stuff for all of those things. And we love you for it. And good night, Scott. Good night, Rock.
Good night, Russ. Good night, Scott.